How are we all doing? Yeah? I see some faces I've never seen before. That's good. Welcome. You're going to have, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a bit messed up a little bit this morning. It's the worship team's fault. So, they kind of led me in a particular direction. So, Holy Spirit, okay, all right, let's blame it on him. But it's okay. Let me tell you, I'm a bit boomy, I don't know why, but let me tell you what's going to happen this morning so that you get used, so you know where we're going, so when we get there, we know we got there. So what's going to happen this morning, I'm going to share from Scripture about encountering Jesus. That's the title of my message. We're going to look at the life of Mary and how Mary encountered Jesus, and therefore, how do we, in our world, need to encounter Jesus? But before I do that, I just picked up on a vibe in the service, and I don't know whether you picked it up. Alice, earlier, when she stood here and she was leading us and wrapping up the time of worship, she said there were people here who needed healing, that they were healed. And I don't know whether you came in this morning and you had pain, and right now, you don't feel that pain. Is there anybody who would identify with that and say, yeah, that's me? No? Anybody? So that means there is more healing to take place. Amen. Amen. Because if God speaks healing, that means there is healing to take place. And so in a minute, we're going to pray for healing. And for the healing power of God to come and minister to people. We're going to do it very simply. Those of you that know me, you know my style. We're probably going to watch a YouTube clip, and then we'll let the Spirit move. But that's number one. Then number two, there's a family at the back there. I remember the last time I came, I spoke over you, right? Correct. How are things going? Good. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me. So, sorry, I'm just getting warmed up. Don't worry, we'll get there. And then number two, while I was worshiping, I felt this morning, there are people this morning who this year, 2018, has started rough for you. It's not been the way you thought it was going to be. And this morning, I believe God wants to speak to you and encourage you through a song. And so what's going to happen is, in a moment, a song is going to be played on YouTube. There's words on it. It's a new song. And after the song is playing, we're going to just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. So there's two groups of people. I need them to stand. Normally, I would let you sit through the song. But if you're in the category, number one, that you need any kind of healing this morning, I don't care what name it goes by, right? The Bible says that the power of God is present to heal. And so I would ask you, when the song starts, just stand. And as you stand, stand in faith, believing that God will heal you. When the song ends, I will pray a general prayer. And then the second group of people, if you know that 2018 hasn't started the way you want it to be, but you want to put a line in the sand and say, God, you know, I'm going to stand for change. That when I leave here today, there will be change. I'm going to invite you to stand also. And for the rest of us, I would just encourage you to come on the ride. Let the Spirit speak to you. The Spirit has been speaking all morning about filling us up, about touching our hearts. And this song is about the Spirit. And you might say to me, I didn't even call out what you need. But if you sense that God is speaking to you, God is touching an area of your life, I would encourage you to stand also. And then we'll see what the Spirit will do, and then we'll go into the Word. Is that okay? Are we good? All right. So, tech team, thank you guys. Are we ready? So, like I said, if you know you need healing in your body, stand. If you know 2018 hasn't started the way you wanted to, stand also. But don't just stand. Engage with the song and let the Spirit of God minister to you. One of the lines in the song says, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit. Here we go. Oh,
not by might, not by power, by your spirit, God. Send your spirit, God. Not by might, not by power, by your spirit, God. Send your spirit, God.
God is calling people into His love.
Grace upon grace.
Grace upon grace.
Beauty for ashes. You come to us. We come alive. We stand in awe of you. We stand in awe. Power by your spirit, God. Send your spirit, God. Not by might, not by power, by your spirit, God. Send your spirit, God. Not by might, not by power, by your spirit, God. Send your spirit, God. Come and breathe on us, Spirit, breathe. Come and breathe on us, breathe. Come and breathe on us, Spirit, breathe.
We stand in awe. Spirit, God. Send your Spirit, God.
Amen. Yes, God. Not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, God. Father, we pray right now that your healing grace just fill this room. Fill this room, God. Fill this room. Fill this room, O God, by your Spirit. Fill it. Bring healing. Bring wholeness upon your people that are standing. Bring healing, wholeness by your Spirit, God. The Bible says you sent your word and it healed them of all their diseases. Father, I pray for those who are standing because 2018 hasn't started the way they wanted it to. But God, right now we draw a line in the sand and we ask God that you would come and change the direction, change the trajectory, to the glory and praise of your holy name. Amen. 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 Come on, give God a hand. You may be seated. If you had any pain, just check yourself right now. Check yourself right now. And wave at me if you know you've been healed. Yeah, amen, thank you. Anybody else? Yeah, come on, that's it, check it out. Check it out, anybody else? Yeah, amen. And for the rest of you, 2018 has just started. It's just started for you. Amen. All right, I'm just further distracted. Don't worry, we'll get to the word in a second. What's your name, please? Sorry, guys. Sorry. What's your name? You stood for why? Why did you stand?
Two reasons,
yeah.
One is to not be held up by the past, and the second is I want to stand for change.
Want to stand for change. Will you stand again, please, for me? As you stood, I felt the Holy Spirit would say, the things that are behind you are now behind you. That's what I felt. That's why I called you out. God says to you that the things that are behind you are now behind you, but you have to make a decision to walk forward, right? Because the challenge is sometimes things are behind us and we just stay where we are. But God is encouraging you to step out and to walk forward, right? The Bible says affliction shall not rise the second time. And so therefore it is true for you also. As you stood in faith, God would also stand with you, right? He stands with you. Right, we sang already. We stand in awe of you. Why do we stand in awe of him? Because he does amazing things when we stand. Yeah. Right, when we stand. And so, as you have stood today, today is the beginning of something new. And there's heavy things behind you, right? And sometimes you think to yourself, I can't let go of this weight because it's behind me and it's dragging me back. But God would say, you just need to move forward because as you move forward, the things behind you will be left behind. Amen. That makes sense?
Yes.
You may be seated. My brother, sir, would you stand for me for a second? I've never met you, so what I'm about to say, only you would know whether it's true. But I feel God would say to you that you've been waiting for a breakthrough. Not that things are not good, but you're waiting for something extraordinary to happen because you know what's inside of you. You know the abilities inside of you, but the people around you don't recognize what God has put inside of you. And sometimes you look at your situation and you think to yourself, I can do more than this. Not that you're greedy, not that you're hungry, but I think there's something inside of you that cries for greater. And I feel that this morning, I don't know whether you come here regularly or this is your first time, I feel that God will say to you, I give to you the key for greater. The key for greater. Whatever greater looks like for you, whatever that looks like, God says, I give you the key to greater. And that this morning was more for him to acknowledge it before the people that the key to greater has been given to you. And so I just want to pray for you that whatever greater looks like for you, whatever dimension greater looks like, that God will fully release it. As you walk out of this building today, you will walk in a new sense of hope and a new sense of purpose. Amen. So Father, we thank you for your son. We thank you for the keys that you've released to him for greatness. The song that says, greater is coming. This is true for you. the way you are now cannot be compared to where God is taking you to. And Father, we release all that is on the inside of him, all of the abilities, the talents that's in the inside of him. I even feel that you're working just a little bit below your actual capability, that God will lift you up and promote you to the glory and praise of his holy name. Amen. Amen. Make sense? Excellent. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. Now I'm not going to be distracted anymore. So, all right, let's get into scripture. And those of you who are timing me, you can consider that that's part of my ministry time, right? So, do you know what I mean when I say that, right? So, here's where we're going. Like I told you, we're going to look at how we encounter Jesus. And as I was praying about this, I have a standard way I would normally have done this preach, but I'm actually going to turn it around. So, girls on the tech, I'm going to go to my second verse first, not my first verse. Will make sense in a second. So, first of all, what I need to do is present to you a problem before I present to you the solution. Okay? So, are you good for that? Let me present to you a problem, and then I will present to you the solution. So, where we're going to go is John chapter 11, verse 17. Okay? That's where we're going. Give you a bit of background. Jesus had some friends. They were Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Lazarus was dead. And that's where we're going to pick up the story from. John chapter 11, verse 17. I'm trying to present to you a problem, and then I will present to you the solution. John chapter 11, verse 17. It'll come up on my screen behind me, and I'm reading from the Amplified. And it says this: So when Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to see Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning the loss of their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. And while Mary remained sitting in the house, okay? So I want you to go with me. Jesus is on his way to Mary and Martha. They requested him to come. He comes late. He comes 4 days late. Lazarus is in the grave. And we know the story. If you know your Bible, he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But this is the story, the journey to the encounter. And so what happens is that somehow, I don't know how, Martha hears that Jesus is coming. And she gets out of the house and she runs to where Jesus is, whereas the Bible says Mary sits at home. Very important points to remember. Verse 21. Then Martha said to Jesus, so she finds Jesus and says to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give to you. All right? Think about what she's saying. Whatever you ask God, God will give to you. Sounds like a good preach, right? And then Jesus told her, your brother will rise from the dead. Whoa. Answer to prayer, right? Yeah? And Martha replied, I know that he will rise from the dead. Not today, though. In the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in, dares to trust in, relies on me as Savior will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? I asked you this morning, if Jesus was here in front of you asking you the question, do you believe this? What will your answer be? Simple, right? Not maybe, not kind of, straight yes. But Mary doesn't say that. She said, yes, Lord, I believe and continue to believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God, he who was promised to come into the world, and it is for you that the world has waited. Yeah. But raising my brother from the dead, let's not go there. You don't understand. He's been dead 4 days. Why are you even having this conversation with me? Do I believe that you can do anything? Yes, but not today. Right? We're mourning the death of my brother. And now you're having this philosophical debate with me. I don't have time for this. Verse 28. She had said this, she left and called her sister Mary privately and whispered to her, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." I mean, did I miss something? Did I miss something? I mean, I don't know, but I didn't see Jesus say to her, "Go call your sister." Jesus asked her, "Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life, and that your brother will come to life today?" And she says, "No, I don't believe that. What I do believe is that you're the Messiah. I believe you're the one we're all waiting for. And on that note, thank you very much. I'm just going to go back to the house." I mean, you're either with me or you're not with me. And right now, Jesus, you're not flowing with me. Because you don't seem to understand. I know who you are, but anyway, let's not debate this. I'm just going to go home, and I'm going to call Mary. And so she goes home, and she calls Mary. Now, Jesus did not ask her to call Mary, but this is the problem I wanted to present to you. Here's the problem. Verse 30, this is the problem. Right? If you are writing notes, write verse 30 is the problem. Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. That's the problem. Martha met Jesus, had a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus did not move. Did not move. Didn't even move. Actually, didn't even consider moving. He just stood there. Stood there. This is a problem. Jesus, the author of life, the one who has all power to do absolutely anything, standing there, technically powerless. We know he's not, but nothing Martha said to Jesus moved Jesus. This is a problem. It's a problem today in our churches. We come, we gather around Jesus, we worship Jesus, but Jesus is not moved. Not moved. Doesn't even consider moving. It's a problem. Let's read on. And so when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw her, how quickly Mary got up and left, they followed her. Because when Martha went to meet Jesus, she went secretly. But when Mary gets up, the whole crowd say, "Whoa, where's Mary going? I hope she's not going to go and do something silly." And they follow her. Right? And as they follow her, something happens. Assuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Verse 32, when Mary came to the place, the Bible emphasizes, when Mary came to the place where Jesus was and she saw him, she fell down at his feet. And she said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And for those of you who are Bible scholars, go and read it. Earlier, when Martha met Jesus, she said exactly the same words. No different. Greek, Hebrew, any translation you want to look at it, they say exactly the same words, but they get different results. Look at the results she gets. When Jesus saw her sobbing, and the Jews who had come with her also sobbing, he was deeply moved. Case one, no movement. Case two, deeply moved. To the point of anger at sorrow caused by death. And he was troubled. And he said to her, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, Mary doesn't even answer. They said, "Lord, come and see." And we have the shortest verse in the Bible, verse 35. Jesus wept. And there are, you can buy thousands of books on why Jesus wept. Right? There are so many books. And nobody really knows. Right? But here's my theory. Because Hebrews tells us that we have a high priest who can be touched by the feelings of our infirmity. The Bible says when Mary got there, she fell at his feet and she wept. You have to remember, she'd done this before. She'd fell at the feet of Jesus and wept before. So Jesus was moved to the point of sorrow because Mary was sorrowful. And so the Jews were there saying, "See how he loved him as a close friend." But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the blind man's eyes have kept this man from dying?" Verse 39. So Jesus, again deeply moved within him to the point of anger, approached the tomb. It was a cave, and a boulder was lying against it. And he said, "Take away the stone." And Martha said, "Lord, by this time there will be an offensive odor, for he has been dead 4 days. It is hopeless." Jesus says to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe in me, you will see the glory of God?" And we'll stop there. That is the problem. Two people encounter Jesus, but have different results. I think we need to dig deeper into this, which is the basis of my script, my preach today. And we go to Luke chapter 30, chapter 10, verse 38. Luke 10, verse 38. Because what happened in John 11 didn't happen by mistake, it happened by design. Design. My question to you is, what are you designing? How are you designing? And what are you designing? And so come with me on another journey. So journey one, we find the problem. The problem is, no matter how much Martha had been around Jesus, she could not move Jesus to do a miracle. But Mary did, and a miracle happened. So let's go into the story to find out why there was a difference between Mary and Martha. And it's not a simple thing as Mary did this and Martha did that. We want to look at how this impacts us today. Luke 10, verse 38. "Now, while they were on their way, Jesus entered a village called Bethany. And a woman named Martha," you know her already, right? "Welcomed him into her home." Jesus is going through the town Bethany, and Martha sees Jesus and invites him into her home. She invites him. I mean, if Jesus was coming by your town, the Jesus, not the fake Jesus, the real Jesus, if he was coming by your town, would you invite him in? Yeah? You're not sure. Would you? Okay, good. So you will invite him in. But my question is, I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me just throw it out there. So I've thrown it out there, and then later on we can get it back, right? And let me throw it out there. When Jesus comes to your house, will you be on WhatsApp or Facebook? We say none now, but the reality is that we're all going to go home and have lunch and have our phones by our side. Anyway, let's not go there. Should I? Let's not go there. We'll come back to that. Verse 39, "And so she had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet. So Jesus comes into the house and he's teaching, as the Bible says, if you read Acts chapter 22, verse 3, the Bible says that Gamaliel learned at the feet of the teacher. So Jesus was a rabbi and he came into the house and the first thing he begins to do is to begin to teach. And as he begins to teach, Mary's like, whoa, there's no better place for me to be than at the feet of Jesus. And so she sits down at the feet of Jesus. And I don't want to unpack for you right now the impossibility of what she just did there. Under the Jewish culture, don't do that. You're a woman sitting at the feet of a man who's teaching scripture. That's not supposed to happen. But it doesn't matter. It's happening. And so she chooses to sit at the feet of Jesus. All right? Let's keep going. And so she had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was continually listening to his teaching. Amplified puts a continuing because it wants you to understand that there's a difference between hearing and listening. So let's have a quick exercise. It won't take more than 2 minutes. Quick exercise. I'm going to teach you something called active listening. All right? So find a partner quickly. Very easy. Yeah, you need to be a bit closer. Find a partner. Quickly, between yourselves, decide who's going to be the speaker and who's going to be the listener. Quickly, decide that. Yep. You got a speaker, you got a listener. Let me see all the speakers' hands. If you're going to be speaking, right? Speaking, yeah. Okay, good, thank you. And then the listener. So there's two instructions. It's a two-part game. Part one, the listener is going to be listening to you actively. Focus on you, eye contact. When I clap my hands, the listener is going to get distracted. Play with their phone or do whatever that's going to be distracting. The challenge is that you, the speaker, have got to keep speaking. Don't stop. You've got to speak about it passionately. So for the speakers, think very quickly. You've got 2 seconds to think about it. Think of something that you can speak for a long time. Something you're really passionate about. Think about it. Something you're really passionate about. Because I don't want you to stop. I don't want you to lose flow. You've got to think about something you're passionate about. And you're going to speak about it for 1 minute with full attention. And then you're going to speak about it for 1 minute with no attention. And the way to do that is by my clapping my hands. So when I clap my hands, those of you who are listeners, you stop active listening and you just be distracted. Are we ready? Yeah. Are we understand it? Yeah. Okay, so speakers begin to speak. Speakers, keep speaking. Stop. Did you notice any difference?
Yes.
Yes. You got really cross, didn't you? All right. Did you see a difference in terms of when someone is actively listening to you? How do you feel? You feel engaged, don't you? But when they're not, what happens? You got put off, yeah? Go on. Any other words? You stop talking. All right. Let me ask you a question today. Right? If you don't hear anything I've said, anything at all, if you've not heard what I've said today, hear this. Are you an active listener to God? When you're listening to God, do you give him 100% attention? Or are you multitasking because you think you're a woman or a man? I've learned that men too can multitask. They used to be saying that men can't, but actually men can. They can text and talk. Right? And really, this is the key point. Because you're going to understand this in a bit of a moment. You're going to understand it better. Active listening takes effort. And I tell you, God is always speaking. My question is, are we actively listening? Or are we distracted? And the problem we find in John chapter 11 was because Martha, as you'll find out in a second, was not actively listening to Jesus. She was around Jesus. She heard Jesus, but she had not chosen to sit to continually listen to Jesus. So let's read scripture. Have that active thinking in behind your mind. And then verse 40. Martha was very busy, distracted with all of her serving responsibilities. She approached him and said, "Lord, is it of no concern to you that my sister has left me to do the serving alone? Tell her to help me and do her part." But the Lord replied to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried, you are bothered, you are anxious about so many things." So many things. What clothes you're going to wear tomorrow? What you're going to have for lunch? What your boss said or didn't say? Even as I'm speaking now, some of you are still distracted. Martha, Martha. It's very dangerous when the Lord calls you twice. It's better if he just calls you once. Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered and anxious about so many things. So many. So many things. I want to be the Lord's representative today and say, guys, if you're worried about so many things, stop. Which of you, by being anxious, can add one span to your life? Look at the birds of the field. They neither toil nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. But only one thing, he says in verse 42, only one thing is necessary. Only one thing is necessary. And I know some people say, "Oh, what do you mean only one thing is necessary? Do we not have to eat? Do we not have to go to work?" No, Jesus said, I'm talking. You're anxious, you're bothered, worried about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. Only one thing. For Mary has chosen the good part, that which is to her advantage, which will not be taken away from her. Everything else will be taken away from her. No matter how much money you make, you ain't taking it to heaven. I guarantee you that. No matter how much of a good name you have, you ain't taking it to heaven. The only thing that is exchangeable in heaven is your relationship with Jesus Christ. What did you do with my son? That's the question. That's the only question. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And the only question he wants to ask you is, what did you do with Jesus? That's all I want to ask you. My fear is that we become so distracted and carried away by so many other things, that are important. Even ministry could be a distraction from Jesus. Even preaching could be a distraction from Jesus. Even church could be a distraction from Jesus. And the Bible says, Jesus says to Mary and to Martha, he says, "Martha, you're worried about so many things. You're bothered about so many things. You're bothered about the light. You're bothered about the sound. You're bothered about all these things. They're good things to worry about. But they'll be taken away from you. And on the other hand, there is one thing that is more important. You actively listening to the voice of Jesus. Because when you actively listen to the voice of Jesus, that can never be taken away from you. The Bible says the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But hey, guys, you heard it first. It can never be taken away from you. And so as we look at this, let me share some thoughts with you. Martha was around Jesus. She was surrounded by him. She served him. She hosted him. And she prayed to him. She discussed with him. But of all of this did not bring her into truth. She never came to the knowledge of the truth. She skirted around the truth. She could say, yes, you're the resurrection and the life. But when truth told her that your brother will live again, she scarpered. I don't understand that. I can't deal with that. That's too much for me to discuss with you. And so she ran away. Because she had not been actively listening to the heart of Jesus. You know, some of us, we hear, oh, Jesus saved. That's all we heard. And then we are, Jesus saved. Jesus. What does that mean? What does Jesus saved mean? We don't know. Because we haven't actively listened to the truth. The Bible talks about certain people who are ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Let me read on. Mary was around Jesus. She was surrounded by him, but she chose to sit at his feet. She could not host him physically. It was not her house, but she hosted him in her heart. She prayed to him, but did not stop there. When she met him, she worshipped him. Out of the place of worship, she met him in her pain, and she lifted up her pain to him and brought her to a place of praise. She discussed with Jesus at the place of pain, but she was bowed down in worship. The reality is, Jesus is always speaking. Our challenge is, are we listening? Are we actively, attentively listening? One of the phrases that really struck me in verse 38 is this. It says this. It says, Jesus went to Martha's house. And it's so easy for us to think, well, he hasn't come to my house. But if you call yourself a believer, he already makes his home in your house. So actually, you and I have every single day the opportunity to host Jesus. He lives in you. And I wonder, do we host Jesus? Do we give him our attention? Do we wake up in the morning? You know, when I was growing up as a Christian, I used to really kick against this whole have a quiet time. So I just thought it was just too religious and too regulatory and just leave me alone. Let me just be a free agent for Jesus, right? But let me ask you a question. If Jesus came to your house every single morning, knocked on your bedroom door, how would you greet him? However you would greet him should be your moment of quiet time. Because he is actually really in your room every morning, whether you believe in him or not. Actually, you don't even have to be a believer for Jesus to be in your room. He is in your room because he's omnipresent. So my question is, how would you host Jesus? We've seen how Mary hosted. We've seen how Martha hosted. My question to you this morning is, how would you host Jesus? And it's not a hypothetical question, because you could host him tomorrow morning. You could host him for lunch because he's ever present, ever living with you. Encountering Jesus. It's not something that you have to go and buy a self-help book for. It's something that you just have to decide what you're going to do. That's why I made you do the exercise to make it real for you. Active listening is a choice. You make that choice. Mary made a choice to continually sit at the feet of Jesus. And the word continually is very important there because you could start the day by sitting at the feet of Jesus and you forget him for the rest of the day. But Mary was continually sitting at the feet of Jesus. Not just in a crisis. We all know how to find Jesus in a crisis. We look for the number, we dial, "Hello, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you devil from hell." Amen, right? We know how to do that one. But I wonder whether there's no storm, there's no darkness, all is calm, all is nice. Do you call on Jesus? John 12. Let's finish this. It can't really be finished, to be honest. It's just a starting of something you can go home and read for yourself. John 12, verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus went to Bethany. Come on, this guy likes Bethany a lot, right? Where Lazarus was, whom he had raised from the dead, right? Just in case you missed it, he did raise him from the dead. So that's how John 11 ends. And so they gave him a supper. So they gave a supper for him there. Martha was serving. Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. So Martha ain't learned nothing. She's still serving. Lazarus, he chooses a good thing. He sits at the feet and he's listening. I mean, I want to say this and stop for a moment and think about it. This is a Bible story and it's kind of freaking me out how we see Martha in 3 occasions just not getting any better. And actually, after that, you don't hear about Martha anymore in the Bible. I mean, I'm sure God had mercy on her, but wow. Verse 3. Then Mary took a pound of very expensive perfume of pure nada. I mean, that's like almost liquid gold. And she pours it on Jesus' feet and wipes his feet with her hair. The house is filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Here's a woman who had learned at the feet of Jesus, learned to know Jesus. This is a woman who had met Jesus in her pain and he answered her prayer. And now she meets Jesus. There is no storm. Lazarus, her brother, is alive. He's well. She has seen the word work. And Jesus happens to be in her house one more time. And she's thinking, hey, let's throw it all out there. Let's worship this king. Come on. I've learned of him. I've experienced him. I know this is the Messiah. I don't need anybody else to tell me. Verse 4, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was going to betray him, said, why was the perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? Now he said this, not because he cared about the poor, for he had never cared about them. I love that. But because he was a thief. And since he had the money box server, he was serving as the treasurer for the 12 disciples, he used to pilfer it. That means he used to steal from it that was put into it. And so he was thinking, whoa, this could be a lot of money to steal from. Come on, bring the money home. Come on, baby. Verse 7. So Jesus said, let her alone. So she can may keep the rest of it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you don't always have me. Interesting. Encountering Jesus. first place of encounter, it's a place of learning. And I will encourage you, it must be continuous learning. Continually loving Jesus. Why? Because he first loved you. And he was willing to die for you. And when my brother was leading worship, he made a statement. He said, he feels today somebody needs to give their heart to Jesus. And I want to call on that person right now. Hear my voice. Hear what I'm saying. Continually sit at the feet of Jesus because he loves you. Second place of encounter. In your deep trouble, in your deep pain, don't look up. Look down in worship. Bow down in worship. Because when you worship, Jesus meets you there. He meets you in your pain. And when he has delivered you, and you know there is no trouble anymore, don't ignore him. Rather, go to the next level of encountering Jesus. Go to the place of deep, pure worship. The Bible says she took pure perfume, broke it on his feet. And then she took her hair. For a woman, the Bible says that her hair is her glory. She took all her glory and knelt at the feet of the King of Glory. You need to think about it a little bit more, because it's very hard for us to think about this if you've never been to Israel or any of those desert places. His feet were not clean. He had dust on his feet. He had sand in his feet. Women, hello. You know how precious your hair is, right? Now you take your hair that's precious. It's okay to wash it and to wipe somebody's feet with it, but you mix oil with it. Whoa, you're making a big mess here. And I wonder, how messy will you get to worship the real King, the true King, the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, he who is and is to come, he who is amazing, he who is lovely. He who is awesome, and he who is glorious. My challenge to you today, as I bring this to a close, will you determine in your heart to be an active listener to the voice of Jesus? And having learned all you need to learn and experienced all you need to experience, would you live the rest of your days in worship like Mary did? Imagine, Jesus stands there and he says, let her alone, leave her alone. He elevates her from now to his resurrection. He elevates her from her troubled moments to a future beautiful. In another translation, I think in Mark, it says, leave her alone because everywhere my burial and resurrection is mentioned, her name will be mentioned. I want to invite you, 2018, to encounter God like you've never done before. Step one, continually, actively be listening to the voice of Jesus. Can we have the worship team back up? I think you're going to sing Let It Rain. Pardon? Bow down and worship. That's a good one. All right. We're going to bow down and worship. So many ways I can end this. But I think we should just end it in worship. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do an Alice. This is what Alice would normally do if she was the one standing here now. She's going to invite you. She would invite you. She would say, is there anything I've said this morning that triggered something in your heart? You need to respond. You just want to respond. That it might be you're giving your heart to Jesus for the first time. It might be that you just want to rededicate your life. When we all stand, I'm going to encourage you as we worship to make your way to the front. And there are people in this house that will come alongside you and pray with you and pray through with you. But it's a choice you've got to make. You've got to make that choice. I'm not going to force anybody to do anything. And if nothing happens, I'm not really bothered. I just want to worship anyway. But I believe that there's some people that you need to get out of your seat and put your hand and say to yourself, I need you, Jesus. I need you like I need my breath. And as we worship together, I'm going to invite you to come. I'm going to ask you, can we think solemnly a little bit so that we give people time to respond? And then we'll pray, and then I think somebody's going to end, right? So let's stand. Well done.